and do the make the best in the middle of it, knowing that the end of the arc there's a good destination.
Yeah. There you go.
Can I drop the mic right there?
I like that. Okay. Make sure you smile going down the hill. That's what it takes.
That's a taste of the economic arc. This week's episode of Going Rogue, a podcast that unleashes the unthinkable in culture, religion, business, and everyday life. We even sneak in some politics now and then to keep things interesting. So, it's time to strap in and let's see how far you are willing to let Mac and the team stretch you to your edge of thinking differently.
Okay, welcome to Going Rogue, the podcast where we unleash the unthinkable to help us see things differently and try to usher in a new renaissance centered around creativity, spiritual depth, and a shift from me to we. Hi, I'm Mac, your host, and I got my buzz with me here, you know, on the edge, Coach Stu.
Hey, Mac, how you doing? You know, let's say hi to the Rev. Hey, Rev.
Always good to be with you guys. It's a fun night when we do these recordings.
So I want to say hello to all of you beautiful exotic cocktails out there. That's you if you're listening.
That's it.
And I just wanted to say that last week was fun talking about the wisdom nuggets, like the memes. If you haven't seen our memes, check out our Facebook page, our Instagram. I mean, just look for them. They are so I just love seeing them. I smile every time because Mac will text them out to us before they go up, and I'm just like I love every single one of them.
I love the way your warped mind works. And if you haven't seen those, go listen to the muses because both these guys are putting out incredible muses that are really thought provoking.
Yeah, we love that kind of stuff. So you know, we try to tweak it a little bit. Love to hear your comments, and it's all fun stuff. So
go invite other people to follow us.
That's right. That's right. Come to the party. Come to the party, gang. So here we are with this episode, and we've entitled it. We struggled with the title, really did. Struggled with the title, changed it probably 3 or 4 times. We're calling this one the Economic Ark.
Like Noah's Ark?
No, because it's not,
we're not.
No,
I mean, he didn't have to contract with people to build the ark.
Economic thing? No, I think he had plenty of
there had to be money back then God in some form.
Well, if you watch the movie that Russell Crowe did, that'd be very interesting to see.
I want to know what the economy was in the bottom of that boat with all that crap going on.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
All right. We digress. All right. Here we go. So we're talking about the economic arc tonight, and it's really kind of two-phased. I want to give you some very real, practical, based upon my personal experience of 30 years in the business, if you will, of some economics currently just out there in the field, maybe some perspectives that you can just kind of, and again, we're not going to have an economics class, all right? But just give you some high-level stuff, the arc of economics. But really more so in this episode, we want to make sure that we make a transition toward the arc of the spiritual economics involved as well in everything.
Yeah.
Literally.
You typically don't hear those two words put together, do you?
Right. No.
Spiritual economics. You just don't hear that.
Not at all. But it's there. It's very real. And let me just say this. Hey, let me say that. It will make a difference. It will make a difference if you start to approach some of this stuff from a spiritual. I said it in the beginning.
Okay? Well, we'll get there. We'll get there. God is that overarching arc and umbrella.
Exactly.
But you got to say some. Let's lay some groundwork here about what you really mean by these terms, arc and economics.
Yeah, so, you know, I mean, the minute we start talking economics, even my buddies here, their eyes roll in the back of their head, right? Because it's something that most of us, you know, aren't all that hip on. But at the end of the day, I just really want to give you some high-level stuff and more than anything, some perspective that you can just hopefully take and use as you move forward. First of all, economics. When we talk economics with an economy, it's stuff out there. Right. Whether it's the interest rates or whether it's, you know, your stock portfolio, whether it's the jobs reports and all that other kind of economic stuff is out there. Now, it affects us, each one of us. Of course it does. But number one, it's out there. We really can't control it. Nobody can control it. Even the people that think they control it can't control it, quite frankly. Yeah. I think I don't even have to tell you that.
Is control an illusion?
Yeah. There it is, all right? It's just not controllable because you have an arc, an arching movement of economics that does move forward. Economics in general moves forward, right? Growth. You own all these terms. You get it. Everybody's been there. Everybody understands. You want your 401k to grow. You want your economy to grow. But there's little things that happen in the micro level that affect that up and down, up and down, up and down, whether it's inflation or interest rates or jobs. It doesn't really matter. The focus needs to be on the overarching arc, right? Mm-hmm. And the most important arc that I've come up with, this is just me giving you a little bit of Mac wisdom here, mm-hmm. right? That you can take with you as we transition and as we see the big picture in economics and we move it into, okay, that's great, but how do we filter it then through a more spiritual lens, right? That's where we're going with this, right? And that's this. Here's the nugget. This is all you need to take away from today. What drives any economy is people buying stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's what drives it. If people are buying the widget, the company that makes the widget is making money, and it all fuels itself. They're all interconnected. All of these parts, everything, and this is another important part for the second half here, about the interconnectedness of all of it. Mm. So it's all interconnected. If you have enough people buying stuff, whether it's in your own country or it's over there across the pond or whatever, doesn't matter. They're buying it. You're making it. They're buying it. When that demographic changes, and it always will, you can't do anything about it. No president can do anything about it. No Congress can do anything about it. It's out of everybody's control.
So we're in a cycle. We're in a cycle, an ebb and flow, and it's just going to happen. It's natural.
That's exactly right. Now, I will interject one quick little thing here. The Chinese tried to interject on that with their one-child policy, and they're going to be really paying for it here now and in the future because they limited the number of people that could buy stuff.
Ah, interesting. I bet they didn't think about that.
Oh, no. All right. So everybody's in the same
although
situation.
I had too many kids. I adopted too many kids, and they're spending all my money. I'm helping the economy.
You're helping the economy. Thank you, Rev. We appreciate that. The rest of us do.
So just understand, when it comes to controlling all of that, what affects all of it? Somebody isn't pulling a lever somewhere and trying to make some decision that's against what might work for you. It's a demographic thing. It's cycles, and we are getting ready to face a cycle of non-baby boomer generation. Yeah. And people, there aren't going to be as many people to buy stuff. That's all. It's not that complicated. I'm not trying to make this into rocket science. Just understand that. And so as the future unfolds over the next 3 to 5 to 10 years, and you're wondering what the heck happened, because it was like this for the last 15 or 20, why has things changed? That's why.
So we can't, what you're saying is we can't blame any president, any congressman, any government, any party for the ebb and flow. It's just going to happen, and we need to put our hands up and ride the ride and do the make the best in the middle of it, knowing that the end of the arc, there's a good destination.
There you go.
Can I drop the mic right there?
I like that. Okay. Make sure you smile going down the hill. That's where they take the picture. On the ride, right?
Just as you hit the
so water. Let me simplify this for myself, because I know I know sometimes when Max speaks, my brain starts to explode. So I think what I'm hearing you say is that there's going to be, or there is now, fewer people, right?
Right.
And so there's fewer dollars that can be inserted into the economy,
right?
Which is going to affect our economy.
Exactly.
Right? Because there's just less people.
There's just less demand. Yeah. Okay. That's
all right. So are you saying that we all need to have more kids?
I've already done my part. I'm done.
I think we're past that part, Stu. All right. But, you know, again, understand, just think about that for a second. Most of the time, most people, when I tell them that, they've never thought about it. There's an unthinkable thought, right, that you don't even realize. That you just think that this thing can keep going on and on and on just like it is. So just understand that everything has a cause and effect. Okay?
Oh, isn't it much easier to just blame somebody? Well, who can I blame for my problems economically?
Yeah. That seems to be going on a lot these days, right, Rev?
I mean, sure.
Yeah. You know, it just doesn't, it's not that simple, first of all. It's sure easy to play the blame game, but I think we're going to offer you some alternatives as we bring a higher spirituality into the equation, and how we are able to maybe offer some perspective, some unthinkable thoughts maybe, as to how in the world you're going to, you know, navigate all of this.
Not only navigate, but rise above and transcend circumstances, because I'm operating at a higher level, a higher vibration. It doesn't affect me.
Love it.
The power is not given to the effects. I am the cause.
There we go.
Well, we have to keep moving in face of our fears, right? There's a lot of fear being sown out there.
Yeah.
Right? Fear is driving our economy now.
It is. Oh, yeah. It is. And that's just not a very fun way to live for anybody. So we got to move beyond that.
Well, and it's, you know, and every country's different. And so you're going to see all kinds of things over the next, again, 5 years. And again, I'm not trying to get out the crystal ball. I'm just giving you the facts that there's going to be less people buying stuff. Now, use your own brain to just contemplate that for a second. I don't have to be an Einstein here to, you know, to go into a depth. I think it just makes sense. So, you know, we're going to take that reality. There it is. And as the Rev said, how can we not just navigate, but rise above and thrive in the midst of all of that when we apply some spiritual economics? We'll be right back.
Like what you hear so far? Join us in the Rogue Nation by going to our website, www.gorogue.life, where you will find links to our social media and podcast channels, posts on the Seeing Differently blog, and a way to subscribe to all our happenings. We encourage you to become a member of our cafe, where you can interact with us and fellow Roguers and keep the conversation going. Please share us and like us. Now, let's get back to going rogue.
All right, welcome back to Going Rogue, where this episode, we are talking about the economic arc. And we're talking about the macroeconomic arc, whether it's culturally, we just talked about that. And then we also have an arc, a trajectory that really everything has, and as far as I'm concerned. And now we can start to bring an economic perspective in from a spiritual angle and see how those two things, that might be an unthinkable thought to put those two words together.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, thanks, Stu.
Yeah, for sure.
That, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So here we are. What kind of an arc might we see in the general sense when it comes to the universe? Is the universe good? Is the universe moving forward? You know, is it a
place? Is the universe for us? Is it in our favor? Is God in our favor? That's the arc that I think it's the question we need to ask. My answer is an emphatic yes.
Yeah.
Things are working in my favor, but I got to cooperate. You know, I like to use the river. The river's flowing to the ocean. I either cooperate with it or I don't.
Right.
I'm either fighting the current, but the water's going to take me to where I need to be. So that cooperation is necessary. So the arc that you're talking about, whether it's spiritual or otherwise, it's my job to tap into it, to focus in on it. And that's an inward reality, not an external reality. So what's the economy on the inside of my thoughts and my feelings, my daily spiritual life?
I'm with you. Big yes for me with
that. That'll preach.
So here's another question, though, is do you believe it? I ask this question of my wrestlers a lot. Like, I'll tell them, you know, you are a good wrestler. I'm telling you. And this is why. And then they look at me and I say, do you believe me? Do you believe it? Like, you have to believe it for it to be true, right?
Well,
and maybe it's that easy. Maybe you just have to believe it for.
Well, I think a lot of things
for
come
the abundance
into that,
to come, right?
But I think you're talking the same language right there. You know, when it comes to, first of all, I think the unthinkable, unleashing the unthinkable. I think we just unleashed an unthinkable for probably a lot of you out there. The Rev said it. Stu reinforced it. Is the universe God, the one power, whatever? Okay. For us, or is it opposition to us? And believe me, whatever side you land on there makes a huge, huge difference in your life, right? So we're coming from the perspective that we're going to start at the arc of it's for us, right? If you ever watch any of Rob Bell stuff, we've done a lot of that stuff, and he gave a talk several years ago. You can watch him out on YouTube. And he just stood in front of the board, and he did all this stuff, and he was talking about spirituality and how everything's spiritual and all that. And then he just stood there, and he kind of pulled everything from the left-hand side to the right-hand side, in motion. He just said, everything is moving forward. It's moving this way. you know. And that's, to me, I don't know about you guys out there, but that's a great sense of comfort for me. I love that. I want some of that.
I can't screw it up, is what he's saying. No matter how much I forget or I fall down or I make a mistake or do something stupid and boneheaded, I can't mess it up because the arc is taking me to a good place. Get back up on my feet, tap back in, and get with the program.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and at the core of this perspective is your thinking. You know, you have got to start thinking differently. Your thinking will reinforce that belief that Stu was talking about. And I even want to, you know, we don't do this very often, or at least we haven't done it up to this point. But you know, I'll pull in, for me, very important one, you know, a little Bible verse, if you want to, you know, I'm going to just call it wisdom. There's just tons of wisdom in the Bible. All right. And so here's a nugget of wisdom, right? So really what Paul is telling the Romans, he's just saying, you know, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
One of my favorites.
You know?
Oh, yeah, me too.
I mean, that is such great advice. I don't care if you're a Buddhist. I don't care if you're a Hindu. I don't care if you're a nun or whatever out there. I mean, that is beautiful advice.
The economy of what's going on the inside of me is affecting the outside economy. So, you know, we kind of started with this podcast saying you could not change the outside, but I have a belief system that I can change the outside of my experience of it. It may not change the actual circumstances, but how I'm relating, how I'm receiving life on the outside is either heaven or hell based on the economy that's on the inside and that overarching arc that life is for me, God is for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. The way I hear this is if I fix my attention on God, he'll change me from the inside out.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The very, very.
Which cool. is what the Rev is saying. I mean, that's.
It's turn the other cheek. You know, yeah. Jesus, the master teachers, had talked about turning the other cheek. It's just looking a different direction. If things are not working, if all the traffic's coming my way, I might want to turn and look the other way and realize I'm not cooperating with that river. I'm going away from the ocean, and I'm going to drown any time soon. So I turn, look a different way, think a different way, feel a different way, and cooperate with what is as a means of transforming what is into something better.
Well, these are pretty high concepts. I mean, I think if you're out there listening, I'm guessing. I'm just going to guess. That you hopefully are nodding your head in the, you know, up and down direction, and yet maybe what's going on in the back of your brain is, sounds good.
Sounds good. You know, are we speaking at a lofty place? You've got three middle-aged white guys talking who are pretty well off securely. Economically, we're good.
Yeah.
And you got the woman I talked about last week who's struggling to raise three kids and four jobs. Her economy is different, but the principle does apply.
Yes.
It has to apply. And I realize that my economy today is a result of implementing what we just talked about. I used to have a poverty consciousness. I was affected by everything on the outside. My job didn't pay me enough. I never made enough money. And when I changed my attitude to gratitude for what I was getting paid, suddenly my life became more lucrative.
Yeah. Well, again, what you think, all right, here we go, unthinkable thought. Your thinking affects all of this stuff. Yes, your work at your job and whether you're making the widget and will you get paid to make the widget and all that kind of stuff, blah, blah, yeah, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, that affects your bank account. It sure does, right? But your mental perspective, your mental perception, your intentions. And I think it was interesting you said, Rev, that you know, that no, we can't change necessarily what Jerome Powell decides he wants to do or anything out there. True. But what you were, I think, insinuating at, and it was there, at least I heard it, what you can do is put a different energy out into the field. We can put, each one of us can put a different energy out there into the field about goodness, about prosperity, about abundance. And again, it's not the name it claim it thing where I'm going to put the Maserati on my refrigerator, right? It's about the idea that there's enough for everybody. There really is. Now, that's pretty much a fact, too. There's enough stuff for everybody. It's just how we distribute it, how we think about it, and how we enter into those resources. They're God, you know, they're kingdom resources. Right?
This is God we're talking about, Mac. There's an abundance.
That's right.
Not just enough, right? There's more an abundance. Enough. There's more than enough.
This is the ark. It's unlimited. So I'm not a victim of the economy. I'm a victim of my stinking thinking.
Right.
I'm a victim of limiting God and saying, oh, there isn't enough to go around, so I go put my money and my things in the storehouse. I keep it. So greed is driving the economy, and we're fear-based because there isn't enough. I got to hold on to mine. When in reality, what you're saying is if we share more readily, there'll be more. Loaves and fishes.
Right.
Those loaves and fishes were just an example, that miracle story of people who just shared what they were hoarding. They were always there. It wasn't a miracle of more fishes that manifested. It was like people just quit being greedy and said, wow, there's enough to go around. Yeah. Let me share with my neighbors.
Have some of mine.
Right, because there's enough, because the reality shifted from economy of man to an economy of God.
Yes.
I think I just heard a meme in there. Did you hear it? This is the Rev talking. Don't be limited by your stinking thinking. I like
What I can do with that. You're going to turn me loose with that statement?
Yes. Get run, ready. Baby, course. Run.
Look out for a new meme.
Well, you know this. You know what this reminds me of, Stu? We had a situation. We did a group together, Stu and I did, with some other people many, many years ago. And we were part of this church that was getting ready to build a new church and and all that kind of stuff. And they had the land and bought the land and all that. You know, that if you've been part of all that building campaign and all that kind of stuff in a church, you know exactly what I'm talking about, right? And one Sunday, the pastor got up and said, hey, let's all celebrate, right? We can all celebrate because now we own the land. We paid it off. And that didn't set well with me. Mm-hmm. You remember this, too.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
That did not set well at all with me, because what it said was, look how great we are. Look what we've done, right? Now, I'm not saying that the generosity involved with that wasn't good and wasn't valuable. But when you posture and you say, now this is mine, we own it. And so what did I do? Right. I said, oh, we can't let that stand. So that week when we got together as a group, we went out there to that vacant
land.
Went
to the site. Yeah.
We went there, no church, no nothing. I mean, it was just a piece of land. And what did I have you guys do?
Yeah, we each picked a stone.
I each had you pick up an Ebenezer stone. Mm-hmm. And we're not going to go into that because that'll be a side trail. Mm-hmm. But we had each one of you pick it up and we put them in a jar. Mm-hmm. To do what more than anything? Remember. Mm-hmm. Remember God's goodness in that moment that God had provided for the church, that piece of land, and the abundance to be able to make it happen. I mean, it's perspective like that, gang, that we're trying to impart, that sometimes you just need to look at stuff a little differently. You need to think about it a little bit differently, and it can make all the difference in the world.
Mm-hmm. Well, that whole story you just told, I want to look at it through the lens. We talked about indigenous people. How about Pocahontas?
Yeah.
You think you own whatever land you land on. The earth is just a dead thing you can claim. Is there real ownership? Mm-hmm. Not for us individually. We don't own anything. It all belongs to a higher power. Call it God. Call it spirit. Call it love. I don't care what you call it. That's where it belongs.
Yeah.
The overarching arc. And so, yeah, you can say you own that piece of property and put up a big building, and I'm really envious of that church. I know the church you're talking about, and they know prosperity. Yeah. They teach prosperity principles, but they're living it. Mm-hmm. And that's a great thing, but let's not forget that it doesn't belong to any of us.
That's a pretty good
so
perspective.
True, yeah.
What do you think about that, Rogers? Okay.
Oh, I love
how about
it.
That? Yeah. Unthinkable, right? Then in part, that is part of this shift even. We'll go even one step further. We'll shift from me to we to, I'm going to have to give it a personality at this point, but you know, work with me here. Me to we to thee.
I love that.
How about that? You know?
I like it.
That how can we elevate our consciousness that yes, it's better than it's just mine. Now we're together in this. Mm-hmm. Okay. There's a step up in our consciousness right there. That's beautiful. Believe me, we need more of that, without a doubt, okay? But now, let's open our hands together now. If it's a we, then now we need to open our hands together in unison and quote, give it up, right? That it's no longer ours, but it's, again, I'm using, you know, thine.
It's the ark. It's the ark, the alpha and the omega, the beginning and the end. We're returning home like the prodigal son to that magnificent ark that is the greater economy. Mm-hmm. And the me is going to create suffering because somebody has to have and somebody doesn't have to have. Then we go to we. We're making a journey back home. All that the father has ever had has been there, ready to claim. You just had to come home. So we return to the overarching umbrella of a life force that is for us.
Mm. How does that make you feel? How does it make you feel, gang? You just listen to what he just said. A life force that is for you.
For us, maybe.
And for us. Okay? Absolutely. Now, again, you can say, yeah, but you don't understand my situation, my circumstance. Okay? We want to point the finger out there, so-and-so. And believe me, everybody's got to live in the world. We get that, right? But at the same time, we started this whole second half out with the perspective that what's out there is out there. But what is in here, in you, you can control. Okay? It's about something now. You're stinking thinking. Weren't we talking about that? We were talking about that in the break.
Yeah,
where we stinking thinking.
But from that consciousness of the life is for me and there's enough to go around, I'm happy to share with that that woman that we talked about who's raising three kids. Yeah. I have no problem sharing my wealth. I create a greater economy, not just for myself, but for her and for everybody on the planet.
Yes. Well, again, go back again to some of our points. It's all interconnected.
Yeah.
Right? Everything is interconnected. When one little cog, one little dial moves over here, it has its effect throughout the realm.
There's no private good and there's no private suffering. We belong to each other in an interconnected whole and an arc that is the economy of us, of the human race. And I think that that's my returning home. I just belong to you. And if you're in trouble, that's my pain.
Right.
That's my difficulty. And if you're celebrating, I'm going to celebrate with you, not be jealous that you have something I don't. But I'm going to share. If I have it, I'm going to share it with you because that web is how I define my life.
What I love about the thought of being interconnected is what it means for me is everything I do has a lot of meaning.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right? Because it affects everybody.
Yeah.
Right?
What's the meme I just did? I wish I could remember it. I sure was. God's kingdom isn't a place. Right?
Yes.
It's a, what did I say? I'm trying to remember now, and I wish I'm just drawing a blank.
Yeah.
It's going to hit you at 3 a.m. this morning.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. God's kingdom isn't a place. It's a, and we said because it's called the human race.
The human race, right? Yeah, I remember that part of it.
It's a state of being. I don't know what you said. I didn't read it yet, but it's a state of being. It's a state of consciousness.
I just did
it's
it
a
today.
State of love.
Yeah. But again, these are unthinkable thoughts for you. Maybe you've never been willing to go down there. And for two reasons, maybe. Maybe there's more, I'm sure. Okay, but I'm just going to highlight two of them. One, you've never heard it before. Could very well be. Maybe you're going, I've never heard that before. Let me think about that a little bit. Those are the sweetest words to our ears that you can imagine. All right? Well, I don't know. You don't have to agree with us. It doesn't necessarily mean you buy into whatever it is we're saying. But at least you said different. Let me think about it. Okay? And that could be one reason. The other reason, another reason, not the, could be you have too many buts that come after whatever it is we've just said. Yeah, but. And we're all guilty of that. Don't get me wrong. Okay? I'm not. What did Stu say earlier? If you point one finger this way, how many are coming back at you?
Three. Right? Three coming back at you.
So we're certainly all guilty of it. But the key is to be conscious of it and catch it when you do it. Because there's such a greater arc of truth, of consciousness, of the way it all works, of the way it can work better going on out there. If we just purpose to go a little bit higher into the arc and not get muddied down in all the little stuff that goes on at the 300-foot level versus the 50,000-foot level,
right?
It would be amazing the effect that we can have.
You got to look at, you got to dig it even deeper. That but is actually denying God. Oh, yes, life is for me, but God is good, but people are, you know, inherently good and we're all connected, but you've denied the ark itself. So you're putting yourself into a place of hellish suffering because you've denied the very essence and source of all creation. Your economy is based on a limited view, based upon the effects, because you've butted yourself to hell.
Wait, is there another meme? Don't butt yourself to hell. Yourself,
you know, just a little side note, Michelangelo painted God in his Sistine Chapel with God having a butt. And the Pope was really unhappy about it, so he said, go fix it, take God's butt out of the picture. Maybe that's what we need to do, is take the butt out of our theology, our spirituality, and our economy.
I like that. I like it. Let's do it.
There we are. Well, you know, again, let's go. Let's take another concept before we finish this episode out. And when it comes to abundance, when it comes to the ark, when it comes to spiritual economics, you can't eliminate by any means, and you can't sort of discount the energy involved with the whole thing. All right,
all energy.
Energy in your thinking. You know, I had somebody, and I wish I was this clever, but I'm not. All right, you know, they call what do we call money? Currency. Right? That it is a flow, that it is an energy that has, you know, it's just a medium of exchange. It's all money, the piece of paper or the little coin is. That's all it is. But it has a much greater energy behind it because of the way that we use the pieces of paper. And once you become conscious, more conscious, or even conscious at all of that, then as the Rev was talking about, that woman that we talked about last week, or, you know, your generosity, your freely giving, your flow, your, it will go out and it comes back. Now you really be able to see this circle, this way that all of this energy flows to all of us, and it comes back and it comes around.
It's a current. Yeah. You know, I tell people in my church all the time, don't give to this church because you think we need it, or because this church is poor, because you're creating a poor church.
Mm.
You're creating a needy church. Give to this church because you're giving from a place of a connection to God and a connection of abundance and a connection to value. The consciousness behind the giving, the investment, the purchase, whatever it is, if you're coming from fear, you're actually depleting the ark of God's abundance, because you're energy exchanging fear as opposed to prosperity and truth.
Wow. It's all about your thinking, right?
But still give to the church.
Yeah, we need it. Right, yeah.
I am a minister.
No matter what you're thinking. Right. Holy cow.
You know, we talk about a lot of these principles, and they weave themselves through literally all of our episodes. I mean, we've talked about some of this stuff in an oblique way. You know, not directly maybe, but you'll hear a lot of these similar little comments come out of us, because they're, you know, they're holistic, they're universal, they're ubiquitous, they're part of the way the universe works. And if nothing else in this podcast, not just this episode, but in this podcast, if you choose to listen to us, and we hope that you do, because we hope we're bringing value, you're going to start to go, you know what? It seems like all this stuff is like connected to each other, and it's relevant, and wow, it's really hard to separate this from over this to over here and compartmentalize it all and all of it. It really, you have to start at the ark and realize how good that is, and ground yourself in that, and then you can begin to have poise and wisdom and discernment when it comes to trying to figure out how to deal with all the little stuff that starts milling around underneath the ark, you know? Does that make sense, guys? What do you think?
That's
my perspective on it all.
You know? Yeah, for sure. I was just thinking about the energy of your thoughts.
Yeah.
You know, do you typically think about your thoughts having energy? But they do. And this is what the Rev was talking about when you're handing the, you know, donation over.
Right.
Think about just shaking hands with somebody. Like, what's the energy you have when you do that? Because you're exchanging energy with one another.
Right. It's amplified.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, I think, there's some things to think about. Like, we want to get you all out there thinking.
Right.
Right?
Well, you remember when we did that stuff down at the shelter? Right?
Oh,
that,
for
that
sure.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. One of the things that they didn't teach me, but the guy that we were in touch with over there, we were talking about just how do you relate? We learn how to relate, right?
Right. And so explain, these are people, these are men who are living on the streets.
Yeah.
These are homeless men.
They come here to the shelter.
That come to the shelter to have a night under a roof.
Right.
And these are the people we were talking with.
Yeah, we were doing a thing for them. So the interesting thing was, though, that somebody said, look, you can't necessarily change the guy standing or the woman standing on the corner, you know, when you pull up and they have the sign and they want some money. Okay. Let me give you a suggestion. If your heart is moved and you're going to give them some money, whatever it might be, whatever you choose, do one more thing when you do that. Ask them what their name is. And then acknowledge them when you give them the gift. Not no strings attached. You know, hey, Herbert, have a great day then. You know, he said, that will mean more. And there was an unthinkable thought for me.
Right.
I never would have thought that.
I love that.
Relationship.
It's right, for sure. And I think it was last week we talked about, I see you. Like when
Yes.
Come up
but you know,
some,
back to this idea of thoughts, I see you, but I would say not just know his name. How do I see Herbert? I see Herbert as broken. Mm-hmm. I see Herbert. I'm energetically exchanging the energy of you're broken, you're a victim. No. I check your thoughts. I see you as a worthy human being, and I'm exchanging this over this arc of total abundance, and I'm for you because God's for you. That mindset is going to help Herbert a heck of a lot more than I see you as a poor victim of the economy.
Yeah, I love
poor
that.
Guy.
Yeah, that's...
Well, and take that same concept now, all the Herberts in your life, and they don't have to be homeless, right? We're talking about the namaste out there of every encounter that just honors the God presence, the divine in you. I honor it. I recognize it.
Is it possible in this great tapestry of oneness, when I'm giving Herbert the dollar, it's God giving God to God. It's an exchange of God at its utmost level.
Oh.
The money is energy. I'm energy. Herbert's energy. And it's just energy feeding itself in a good way.
Oh,
maybe we ought to
fantastic.
Drop the mic right there.
Yeah, right? That's right.
I think that's a great way to end right there. Think about that, gang. Ponder that. Rewind the, what is it, 10-second thingy on the, you know, the little dealy.
Yes.
Okay. Listen to that again. Ponder it. Meditate on it. It don't matter. It's beautiful. Thanks, Rev. That was incredible. All right. So with that, what else we got, guys? Anything before we
I just want to put in an invitation out there. We've got a few followers out there that are checking us out. They're downloading our podcast. Go invite 5 people to join us. This is a good conversation, and it's going places. We haven't even touched the tip of the iceberg yet to go get more Rogers on board, because this is something that this train's going somewhere, and they want to be on board.
Be part of the
listen
vanguard.
To those memes. Look at those memes. Listen to these incredible muses these two guys are putting out. It's good stuff.
This is fun. This is fun, guys. If some of you Rogers have conversations like these, please share with us.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this is a fun time that we have, and we get to share it with you, and we're so happy that we're doing that.
Absolutely. So we love you guys. Thanks for listening. Like Rev says, go share us. We want to hear the stories. Until next time, take care.
Wow, you made it and can now unbuckle. Thanks for listening to The Economic Arc, where we offered a higher perspective on the business economics out there and the spiritual economics within you. Remember to visit the website at www.gorogue.life for lots of follow-up information, see the show notes for any links to episode content, and join us in the ongoing cafe conversation where every week we post some thought-provoking questions for your own roguish conversations. Oh, and of course, tell everyone you know about us and like, follow, and engage. Be sure to tune in next week when Mac unleashes another unthinkable conversation. That is, if you dare.